Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. D. Mace brought in a candle into the studio today. It's really
nice. Cedar Magnolia.
Ooh.
From the Magnolia brand, which is Chip and Joanna.
Hashtag not sponsored.
Yeah, hashtag not sponsored. So, I love that can. Well, I love Chip and Joanna.
You get their magazine in the mail.
Haven't gone that far just yet, but I went to the silos. I went to visit when we went to my went to visit Baylor for my son years ago. I made sure that I went through their store. Oh, I could have stayed there all day. It's like a little village.
I didn't
village.
Know this about you.
It's like a little village, you know, and I could have stayed. It's just people lined up around a corner for the donuts. They got this store that has just everything in it, every home thing that you think you would need to have.
Did you buy anything?
Oh, yeah. I bought a bunch of candles and everything else.
Is that where you got that candle?
No, I got that one from locally here. I think at Target because they still their brand as well. Uh-huh. So, but yeah, if you're ever near Baylor or in that area, you need to go. It's a cool little place.
Waco has Chip and Joanna Gaines to thank.
Oh, I'm
for
sure.
All of the tourism.
Absolutely.
I've never been to Waco, but I haven't necessarily heard that it's a super poppin' place.
No, it's not a super poppin' place, but I mean, if you like.
But Chip and Joanna have put it on the map.
Yeah, if you're going to Baylor for a college visit or if you dropping your son or daughter off or whatever, just drop by. You like it. I did, at least.
I like the candle.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, got to
break the mood in here today.
I smell it, too.
And let's
smell
be honest, you smell our, like Willie? Our studio needed a little spruce.
Yeah, needing a little spruce. Yeah.
Every little bit helps. I feel like I got to do my part now. What, Caroline, what are you bringing to next time we're in the studio?
I can maybe bring in a nice rug.
A lamp? Did you have some mood lighting ideas you were having? Like,
I did have some mood lighting ideas.
Okay.
So I could maybe dip back into that.
Okay.
What about a lava lamp?
Sure.
Senior year of high school.
Yeah, I can dip into my feng shui.
Exactly. There we go.
There's an interior designer in all of us.
Absolutely.
The candle is Band-Aid on a bullet hole, but it is something.
Hey, yep. We'll take it.
It is something.
We will take it.
All right. We will chat with Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast at 1 o'clock. We'll get whatever the most recent news is on Tyson Berry. And how about those Nashville Predators now in a playoff spot at the season ended today? So we're just over the 1/3 mark in the season. So we'll get Elliot's thoughts on all of that. But I want to start here because I feel like with all of the hustle and bustle of Monday Night Football and everything that we learned about this team, all of the topic of conversation of this team, I feel like we haven't given this one person their due. That we haven't talked nearly enough about Will Levis. Because I look at everything that team accomplished on Monday night, not just doing the impossible of what we thought was probably nearly impossible, going into Miami and beating the Miami Dolphins. Will Levis is the first rookie quarterback to throw for as many yards as he did for 300-plus on Monday Night Football. That before Monday night, every single team that trailed by 14 or more points with 3 minutes or less to go in a game, all 767 teams to be in that situation lost, except for the Titans on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I have to give a whole heck of a lot of credit to Will Levis for doing that. for being in a near impossible situation and guiding a comeback like they did in the last few minutes of the game. I think it's really freaking impressive. So my question to you both is, did Will Levis prove on Monday night that he could be the guy? Because Ryan Tannehill, we always talk about how Tannehill, he can't put the game on his shoulders. That Tannehill isn't going to single-handedly win you a game. And we understood that. And we knew that about Tannehill. That you can't put some sort of unfair expectations on Ryan Tannehill. He's not going to be the guy that says, all right, everybody, I got this. Like the Patrick Mahomes can. Like the Tom Brady's did. Like maybe the Joe Burrows can. Did Will Levis prove that maybe he can do that?
I need to see more. I'm not going to be a prisoner at the moment. You know, it was good that he was capable of, you know, orchestrating two drives, you know, in that situation. But you see a lot of quarterbacks do that. Honestly, you do. Last 2 minutes of a game, defense plays lax, and they're just hitting underneath, and then you just start moving the ball down the field, and you get into a rhythm. And you know, that's why I never understood this, you know, prevent defense in 2 minutes. It prevents you from winning a game a lot of times.
Cough, cough, Auburn.
Exactly. So I really don't understand why sometimes they employ that type of strategy, you know, when going against certain teams. Maybe they thought, well, you know, they're not going to hit us with big chunks. We're going to force them to, you know, take the dumps and then tackle them and rally to the ball, and it just didn't happen that way. But he took exactly what the defense gave them, and that's what you want your young quarterback to do, any quarterback for that matter, is in a two-minute situation or a four-minute situation, take what the defense gives you and don't try to be the hero. And I think that's what he did. You know, he's a good quarterback, and that's what good quarterbacks do. So, again, I'm not going to get caught in the prison, as, you know, prison in a moment. Did he do a good job? Yes. But these are things that I need to consistently see moving forward, because there was a time where, you know, he didn't do that, you know, and it didn't change what I thought of him as a quarterback. It was just he needs to learn. So in this situation, it doesn't change what I think of him as a quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he still, like, again, he still has a lot to learn. He just put on the training wheels, okay? Let's not take them off, okay? Let's not take the training wheels off. He put them on just, you know, a few weeks ago. But that was a good job by him, a good starting point, and now let's see where he goes from there.
Yeah, I think I agree everything that you're saying, D-Mace, because it is a process. And I think the thing that I'm most encouraged about is there are guys that get the chance to play. Mm-hmm. Like Will Levis is getting the chance now in his rookie year. And you never see anything close to this type of success. It's not, he hasn't conquered the game. It's not, you know, lighting the world on fire, but he's having some moments. And that's what I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. I think when we talked about, before we even knew Will Levis was officially going to start, remember there was a mystery for a few days when Tannehill got hurt. And it was like, I think it's time to see Will Levis. And
right.
Sure enough, it was him. They had the bye week to think about it. But there was a few days where they didn't make public that he was going to be the guy. But we were all kind of formulating in our heads, what do we think we want to see? And I think that was what my first thought was. Show me that you belong in the league. Show me why you're a high pick. Show me some tools. And I think he's exceeded those expectations. And then when you have a performance like he did Monday, it's got to fuel the confidence and the belief in not only himself, mm-hmm. most importantly, but also his teammates that, hey, we've got a guy that can go get a game for us, can go make it happen with the game on the line. But how many quarterbacks have we seen get extended chances and they prove that they don't belong? Like, there's more of those guys than there are Will Levis. Now, he's still got many levels to go before he gets ultimately where they need him to get. Mm-hmm. But very good start. Very good start.
Yeah, I think that you cannot label a quarterback one way or another based off of one performance, really based off of this entire season. I don't think that that's necessarily fair, because what Will Levis did in his first start as a rookie, something that only two other quarterbacks have done in their rookie starts, One of those was Marcus Mariota. Mm-hmm. We labeled Marcus Mariota, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread just because of that game. Well, I think that's a complete misrepresentation of what Marcus was as a quarterback and what Marcus's career really has ended up being. So it's not fair to label an individual quarterback based off of one game or really only one season. You need a much larger sample size. Mm-hmm. But what I think you can take away are little intangibles. And that's what more so of what I'm taking away from Will Levis's performance on Monday. Can Will Levis do that every single game? Maybe. I'm going to guess.
I hope so.
Probably not. Not even the best quarterbacks can do that every single game. Not even the best quarterbacks can overcome a two-score deficit with 3 minutes to go. But it did show me that Will Levis has the potential. That Will Levis showed me on Monday night that he has what it takes to possibly be one of those guys. The guys that you can say, all right, you know what? I got it. It's on me. I can win this game for this team. Tom Brady did it. Patrick Mahomes does it. I'm not saying that he is Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he is Patrick Mahomes. And if he ends up being Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, then great.
Mm-hmm.
This franchise is in a really great position. But I think that he showed that he has the traits to be able to do it, that he has the kind of competitive edge, that he has the feeling of no moment is too big or no ask is too big. And aside from the kind of mental, intangible things, that he's got the arm. That if he needs to throw the ball 45 yards downfield to get you into scoring position, that he can do that. Again, I don't want to put the cart before the horse. And I don't want to label him as that dude, the guy that can do this every single week. But he at least showed us that he can do it, that he has the capability of doing it. And that alone is really what I wanted to take away from Will Levis in this season, period, is, look, can we just see some good things? Can we pick up on some good traits that maybe you do have the quarterback of the future? And I think we did see traits of that on Monday night.
Yeah, I go back through the years. Like, there's so many quarterbacks every year, some years more than others. I think last year was a year where you had a lot of quarterbacks. I go back to, there's a great 30 for 30 on this draft, 1983. You had six in the first round. Mm-hmm. And in that six, you get a wide range of all the outcomes of what a quarterback's career can look like. You had Dan Marino, you had John Elway, Hall of Famers. You had Ken O'Brien, Tony Eason, pretty good when they were good, but not Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. You had Todd Blackledge, who's a great announcer.
Yeah.
not a great NFL quarterback, right? Never made it. So you see what I'm saying? I think Will Levis every week is proving that he's not Akili Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, like, remember the first game ever at Adelphia Coliseum? Bengals Titans.
Yeah.
Supposed to be an easy win for the Titans. It's very hairy. Jeff Blake was playing really well for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. He gets hurt for a series. Here comes Akili Smith. And I'm like, ooh, high first round pick, Akili Smith. What was it, like, third pick in the draft?
I think so.
I think the 99 draft, the first three guys were quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, it was Donovan McNabb, Culpepper, and him. There you go, right there. Right? There's three very different careers.
Right.
Akili Smith proved pretty quick he was not in that class. Mm-hmm. Will Levis has got me past that point. That's the nightmare, right? When you draft a guy and you're like, ooh, this isn't working.
Yeah.
This is a wasted pick. We got to go back to the drawing board. Levis has got you way past that point. Now, where he goes from here, there's all kinds of pathways. But I like what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's done some good things, and he's done some things that he needs to improve on.
Which I think we probably
exactly.
could have expected.
I liken him to Baker Mayfield. I think he it's not necessarily an uh-oh because when you looked at Baker first came out, I mean, this it looked as if he was their guy.
Yeah,
it looked like Cleveland had finally found their quarterback. He was, you know, energetic, you know, he can throw the ball. He can make every throw there was. Strong arm, can make every throw. He had that moxie. He can get outside the pocket, run, do all of these things. Take the hit, mm-hmm. get back up, and keep doing his thing.
Competitiveness.
His competitiveness was off the charts. To me, that's Will Levis. Now, he's going to have to prove that he has more staying power, like legit staying power, than Baker Mayfield. Now, I think Cleveland just ultimately, that whole thing just got messed up for him. And I think that derailed his career some. And he's never really truly been on track, even though he's a good quarterback in this league. But I liken him to a Baker Mayfield, the type of attitude, the, you know, I'm winning at all costs. I may try to make some of those throws that I shouldn't be making, but because I got this live arm, I think I can get it in there. But ultimately, it caught up with Baker Mayfield. I don't want it to catch up with Will Levis. I don't want those things. That's why, you know, when things started happening for Will, and I think I asked y'all this question. I know I asked TD. I asked Tim. Are you worried that he may be developing some bad habits because of what's in front of him, the offensive line, and him thinking he has to do a little bit too much? That was Baker Mayfield, thinking he had to do over and beyond. And he built up bad habits that he probably hasn't let all go even now. Even though he's playing good football, he's still not the guy that we thought he could be after his first year. And I don't want Will Levis to be a guy like that, even though I think – you know, even if that happens, he's still a good quarterback, but he's not a quarterback that can, you know, take over a game, that you can put the team on his back and say, let's ride.
You know,
no pun to Russ.
Broncos country?
Broncos country. That's sorry.
It's also just too, it's so early, right? I can't remember, but D-Mace, you were doing some analyst stuff for us back when Jake Locker was taking the reins, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had some early success. I don't know if he ever had a game like Monday night, right? I don't think he did. But he had some good early games. Marcus Mariota did. Vince Young absolutely did. He was the rookie of the year. He did have some dramatic wins as a rookie. So, again, the cautionary tale, right? Just because you've done it doesn't mean the next game is going to be as consistent. There's still a lot of work to be done. Mm-hmm. You can't fall into the traps because you're right. There are bad habits, and there are other teams that are saying, okay, what does this guy do well? I'm watching Levis. Now, you're on my radar now. I'm watching what you do well. I'm going to see if you can do this when we throw this at you. So there's so many parts to the growth phase here. But, like, your early returns on Jake Locker, it was easy to get excited. You want to get excited. Yeah. So that's what we have to be careful of.
Yeah, because I always thought Jake Locker, he came from a system, I believe, that was more of a spread-out system. Mm-hmm. And they tried to put him in a system, like a pro-style system.
They tried to run a little run and shoot, remember, with Chris Palmer.
But it was like, if you put three and four wides out there, let him do what some of the things he did in college, he will excel. And when they did that, it was really during 2 minutes, some other stuff, he excelled. But then once they kind of went back to it, it was like, nah, Jake's not the guy that needs to be doing that. To me, Will Levis is, you know, let him do what he does best. He operates, I think, you know, in that 2 minute situation, I think he operates really well in that because it's like, okay, I'm taking a snap. I got my reads. I know where I'm going. Boom. There's no disguising of the defense. It's basic vanilla. That gets him going as a quarterback. And then once they start doing things in the secondary, I've already built up a rhythm now. Now I'm good. And now I'm seeing things a little bit better than maybe I saw before. So, again, you don't want to get too far ahead with Will Levis. Again, I sort of compare him to a Baker Mayfield. I'm not saying he is or isn't Baker. I just compare. They have some comparison to them.
The personality.
A strong arm.
The moxie. Too.
Yeah, the moxie. Just the toughness that he has. You know, that's what Baker has, and that's why I think people are so gravitated toward Baker Mayfield. You know, because of that thing that you just can't coach.
Kind of the IDGAF attitude.
Yeah, it's just like, go out there and I'm going to do whatever I need to do to win this football game. That Will Levis has some of that, but you want to hone it in to make sure he don't develop bad habits within all of that.
And I think one thing that you want to be able to take away from a quarterback's rookie season, take away the stats, take away the wins and losses. Mm-hmm. Does he have it? Like, does he just have something that you feel like, okay, I can work with this? Joe Burrow's rookie season. He got hurt in the middle of the season, and the Bengals weren't very good that year. They had a top three pick the next year. But you could look at him and say, all right, that kid's got something. Mm-hmm. Like, he can be successful in this league. I feel like I'm taking that away from Will Levis. I don't know how successful he's going to be in the league. I don't know if he's going to be Super Bowl MVP, and I don't know if he's just going to be Kirk Cousins or if he's going to be worse than that. But I think I've learned, especially on Monday, that solidified it for me. But just through the last few games, he's got something. He's got it that you can't coach.
I like what I'm seeing. But now, I would have said when Vince Young was reeling off victories his rookie year that Vince Young has got it. Mm-hmm. Now, just because you have it, or it seems like you have it, this is where you have to keep going. Is Vince Young thought that that's all he needed was it? Mm-hmm. At a certain point, he stopped. You know, he stopped. Continued to realize that you've got to keep improving, that you've got to keep, doing the preparation, getting there early, getting the game plans, continuing to learn about the nuances of an offense, and that's where he fell off, right? So having it is good, and I would agree that Levis looks like he's got something like that. You know, he's got that in. That ingredient that I can do it, I'm the guy, give it to me, I want it, but winning in the league for over the long term takes a lot more than just that, right?
Yeah, Steve McNair.
The thing I always admired about him is he kept improving every year. He was better at other facets of the game, and he always had it, right? You could tell in those early years.
He always
2 minute drill.
Player.
Yeah. The competitiveness that oh my gosh, he just ran over a linebacker, or he just willed his way down the field. But every year he was better at the other areas of the game.
Exactly, and that's how you want Will to get. And by the way, y'all don't get off my boy Kirk Cousins, all right? Y'all don't stay off Kirk Cousins. If he can only hope to become Kirk Cousins, okay?
I would say this.
Kirk Cousins
made a lot of money.
Is a damn good quarterback. Yeah. And he had his team on the roll for a minute there before he got injured.
But I think he's a good quarterback. But when I'm talking about Kirk Cousins, I'm talking about he's a quarterback.
Hey, man, y'all don't get off my Spartans.
He's a quarterback.
Y'all don't get off my Spartans.
He's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. Is he a top five quarterback?
That's
no.
what I'm saying. He's Kirk Cousins.
He's below that. He's probably that
he's
second tier.
Of the road.
He's probably that second tier of quarterbacks. But
Blaine Bagel.
If he turned into Kirk Cousins, that's not a bad thing.
No, I agree.
That's a damn good thing because now I know exactly.
But that's not Patrick Mahomes.
I know exactly what. There's not many Patrick Mahomes.
I know, but it's Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I know exactly what I have in him, and I know what I need to do to elevate him a little bit more. Go get him a top flight receiver. Go get him this guy. Go get him that guy. Build up your defense. So, but I mean, Will, what I do like about him, whether he has it or not, I love the competitive nature. And that's something that, you know, you can't take away from him, I don't think. No matter if you knock him down 100 times, he's still going to get back up and have that competitive nature. And that's what I enjoy about him. And that it seems like he's open to learning new things to become the best quarterback he can possibly become. His leadership seems like he's getting a lot better. He still – there's some decision-making things that he needs to sort of, hey, listen, you need to – and I'm sure Charles is in there like, listen, you can't – these are throws you just can't make. You can't make them. Like the one he threw to D-Hop early in the game, the crossing route. It was a short crossing or inside slant. And I'm thinking, like, why did you throw that ball? The guy was open over there. Mm-hmm. You threw that ball, and it was three guys around him that could have been intercepted. Things like that. He does that too many times. You gotta coach him out of that in the right way, because you don't want to coach him out of it, period, where he's scared to make throws. You just got to coach him out of it in a way where, hey, listen, I understand what you may be seeing, but you got to understand that maybe if there's three guys right here, somebody else is open. Somebody else is single coverage. You got to find that guy.
And I think that difference between, you know, having the it factor and having it turn into something, the difference is what's around you.
Yes.
The difference between building and breaking bad habits is what's around you. I think that Will Levis may be developing some of these bad habits because he has no protection. Mm-hmm. So what is going to be the difference? What do the Titans need to do this offseason, kind of their offseason to-do list, to make sure that it's something culminates into something bigger, that those bad habits don't become what Will Levis ultimately becomes for the rest of his career, that they're bad habits that you can break. Because it's not too late. Mm-hmm. It's not too late. So what is on the Titans' to-do list to build around Will Levis for next season and beyond? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
He told me, like, initially he gave you some leeway, but now it's at the point where it's like, not taking any shorts. So how has that kind of, like, pushed you to elevate your game, or has it done so?
Yeah, no, I mean, it just pushes me to, you know, just be better and prepare and take it to the next level because, you know, it's, there no more rookie mistakes, no more free passes for any of that. Across the board, you know, we got a lot of young guys that are playing, but we've had enough reps and enough snaps at this point where we can't let any of that fly. And we know it, you know, sometimes that does happen, but it's time for us to take our game to the next level, and that's what we need to do.
All right, that was Titans quarterback Will Levis. I think he showed something special on Monday night in Miami. But the difference between Will Levis not harnessing that it factor that it looked like he had in Miami versus going to the next level, breaking some of those bad habits that maybe we've seen him develop over the last few games, is really what's around him. Mm-hmm. So what should be the priority for the Titans in the offseason? What tools should the Titans put around Will Levis? We'll get into that, but I want to get into your phones as well. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you have a thought. Jason is on the line. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. The Titans should be thinking of one thing as far as Will Levis is concerned, and one thing only: building that offensive line to protect it. You can take a great offensive line and make an average running back look like a superstar. And then, obviously, on the opposing side of the ball, they need a number one shutdown corner to shut down half of the field. So that then they can migrate people to the weaker side and help out if they need be. But as far as Will is concerned on the offensive side, the big splashes and all these things, when they're trying to put butts in the seats out there in the stadium, they will do it more often by winning. And they're going to win when they give Will time. We already see he has the arm, he has the accuracy, he can get people on the move and throw him open and when he has the time to do it. But he doesn't have the time to do it most of the time, and he's rushing throws, which means that you can't send receivers out on deep routes and go routes, not giving them enough time where the defensive players are pulling all over his jersey. I hate to say it because I'm a Steeler fan and a Titan fan, but I watched the Dallas Eagle game the other night, and I haven't seen an offensive and defensive line in the league yet that matches Dallas. Dak has not been a superstar, number one, on Patrick Mahomes level, but he looked like it the other night playing behind that line.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Jason. Thank you for your call. Good call. Good thoughts. Good points. I think that should be 1A, mm-hmm. and maybe 1B and 1C and 1D and 1E. His offensive line. This offensive line is horrible.
It is. It's a bad. But here's, I think, and I thought about this yesterday, in regards to the offensive line, because I think someone called Jared Cho and was saying sort of the same thing, like they need to, like, everybody. It's not that they need, because you got to understand how this offensive line thing work. Everybody doesn't need to be great. Now, if you got five great guys, then wonderful.
Great.
But 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have five, like, all pros. You're just not going to, or five Pro Bowl guys.
What, I just need them to keep the quarterback upright.
Yeah, but what happens is, like, if I'm the Titans, obviously I need a left tackle. I go get me a left tackle. I already got my guard, and I find me a center. Mm-hmm. Now, this center doesn't have to be a all-pro center. He has to be a reliable center. And then I need to, you know, do something with the right tackle, either – you know, Nicholas, hey, we got to figure something out. Either I go get a veteran guy just in case, you know, and let them two battle it out and see who wins. Like a veteran guy that's a good player, not just a veteran guy that's been a backup. You know, a veteran guy that's probably on an expired contract somewhere else. Maybe he's in that, you know, 33, 34 range. A team's like, well, we need to go a little bit younger. He's still a good player, but we don't want to sign him back to possibly the money he wants. You get a guy like that that's solid, that's good, let him compete, and then maybe he wins the job. But you have to – certain spots on the offensive line, you have to solidify.
Left tackle.
Because it helps the guy next to him. Peter – I think Peter's a good player, but we don't see it. Why? Because the left tackle isn't good. Mm-hmm. You get you – if you put a young B-hop right next to Peter Skoronski, Peter would be a Pro Bowl player. Then he would be. He would be an all-pro player. Why? Because those two guys will work well together. Or you put him you put Ben Jones at center. Peter Skoronski is a much better player.
Yeah, both guys to Peter Skoronski's right and left.
Exactly. That's
enough.
What
They're
I
That's starting tackles.
That's what
centers.
I'm saying. You don't have to go out and pay top dollar for four new guys. Mm-hmm. You need to pay top dollar, either draft or get you the best left tackle in the game. You need to get you another center, and then you probably only need one guy to your right, either the guard or the tackle. You don't need both, because what happens is they all gel together. Those good guys end up making those really good guys end up making those subpar guys a lot better, because now we learn how to communicate amongst one another. Now, as a veteran guy, I know I've seen too much. I know I need to help this kid right now. I can do a little boom and then get back to my block. I know when I can help him and when I don't need to help him. They don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. They need that. So they don't need to replace, you know, four guys. They need to replace at least two. Let's get two first, because they ain't going to be able to replace four guys.
Yeah.
It's just not.
You don't have enough assets
exactly.
to do that.
Replace two. Just give me two along with Peter. And the two I want is a left tackle and a center.
Yeah.
We're worried about the other side. But you give me a left tackle in the center, we're good.
Yeah, and you look at what you have in-house, and you say, is Jalen Duncan a left tackle?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to say that yet, but hey, he's going to get a chance these next few games, and let's see where he's at the end of the season.
I probably can throw him to right tackle.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. That's what you're saying. The right side, you can maybe plug him in there. You're like, we might have something here. Say, Nicholas Petit-Frere, what does he look
option?
Like mm-hmm. last year? Guy played a whole year as a rookie and went through the growing pains, and then completely it went south mm-hmm. this year, so he got a lost season. What does he look like next year? That's another guy. Let's throw him into the mix on the right side. But like you said, you build that left side, mm-hmm. and then you build out from there. And I love the soundbite we just played there, because you know what it reminded me of is the Barry Trotz philosophy of the Predators and the benefit of surrounding young players, important young players, with veterans that know how to play.
Exactly.
And that's where D-Hop is really helping Will Levis, mm-hmm. right, in a lot of ways. Derrick Henry is really helping Will Levis. And I don't know why I didn't put this together during the trade deadline, but I feel dumb that I was saying, well, let's see if we can get a draft, if you can get a high draft pick for this guy or that guy. But I think there is a big benefit, as we see, from having those guys. And I think that's something to think about for next year, too, mm-hmm. is who are the Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist kind of guys that you want to surround Will Levis with mm-hmm. while he grows? Give exactly. him that space to grow so he's not out there on his own with a bunch of other young guys that are all struggling together. Because that's a mistake I've seen a lot of teams make.
And I think that's why bringing back Derrick Henry should be a priority for the Titans.
It's got to be at least on the list if you can make it work financially.
Yeah.
And that's the other difficult thing, is you want to bring in veterans to help your young quarterback. Well, how willing is the owner to open up the checkbook? Because good, solid veterans that are going to help your young quarterback aren't cheap. Mm-mm. And the second thing is, there's a tough balance between bringing in veterans to help the young quarterback versus bringing in young players to grow with the young quarterback and rebuilding your young core. Because I don't want the Titans to get in a position where they're finding veteran players, expensive veteran players in free agency every 2 to 3 years. You want to start drafting well. That's why the Titans are in the position that they're in, is because they didn't draft well and they haven't signed a lot of their players to second contracts. You want to? I think that bringing in the veterans are great. Is a great bridge option as your draft ease. The players that you draft start to grow around Will Levis. Like, I think the offensive line should be the number one priority, but you need to find a wide receiver to bring. If we can all agree that maybe Treylon Burks might not come to fruition. Maybe Treylon Burks won't end up being what John Robinson envisioned him being. Well, you're going to need to find that guy. And you want to bring that guy in to start building a rapport with Will Levis. You're probably going to need another tight end option.
And you're not going to fix it all in one offseason. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing to keep in mind, and that is it's going to take a little time. And so how do you prioritize? I think about this, D-Mace, when you got Will Levis, you know, the guy calls in, they've got to have this. They're not going to have enough resources to address all of what they need. But do you prioritize? I remember the Colts, it seemed like every year they had a great offense and a bad defense when they had Peyton Manning. But they kept drafting guys like Dallas Clark and Reggie Wayne in the first round. And I'm like, shouldn't they be drafting defensive players? But their thought was, no, we're going to keep building around what we have, and that's a great quarterback, and we're going to have an incredible offense. And that's what they kind of figured out the defense. But I wonder, do you draft more offense? Mm-hmm. Do you prioritize offense with where you spend your draft picks and maybe your cap space to build that fortress around Will Levis and kind of say, well, the defense is going to have to figure it out? I wonder how that works.
I mean, with a young quarterback, you're going to have to start surrounding him with things that are going to help expedite this sort of learning curve for him. So that starts with the offensive line. That starts with getting him more weapons to throw to. I think they have the right offensive coordinator, but hell, he may not be here after next year. That's another thing you got to look at. After next season, if this offense improves, his name will come up as a head coaching candidate. So let's just put that aside. But you got to do things to help build this. Because from a defensive standpoint, I think they have guys in place. They're going to have to figure out if they want to keep guys. Danico Autry, Tier Tart. They got to figure out, you know, Fulton's not coming back, so they got to get them another corner. They got to the safety situation. They need to work it out because Amani Hooker hasn't been the same. You know, really, it started before they traded Byard, but after they traded Byard, it's just hadn't been the same.
Had a pretty good day on Monday, yeah. But I would say for the most part,
hasn't been, you know, the same. And then hell, Tyreek wasn't on the field, so I mean that could have been a big part of it, but.
Everyone looks much better when an elite wide receiver isn't playing.
When he's out of field. But, I mean, they need to solidify this offensive line somehow, some way. They have to – I think they need to go get a veteran tight end too, you know, and they're going to have to get another playmaker at receiver and figure out what they're going to do with Derrick Henry because the only – it has to be more than a one-year deal with Derrick Henry. To me, it does because – If it's just a 1 year deal, Derrick Henry leaves spending what would it be, his 10th year next year or at 9th year? Next year would be his 10th?
Ninth year.
No, that's like lame duck. It's like, okay, you're going to go sign him in a 1 year deal? No, it has to be a multi-year deal. It has to be at least a 2 year deal.
It's going
to
be an unbelievably
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough and interesting.
Because it's both sides. It's what does he want? Uh-huh. What does the team want? And can they find the middle ground? Because what you're saying, he might sit there and go, I'm not sure I want to sign up for just being the security blanket.
For 1 year.
And I see what Tajay Spears is doing. Uh-huh. And, you know, he is going places, I think, Tajay Spears. And they got to find out what he is. So,
exactly.
Would Derrick Henry rather go somewhere else where maybe there's the teams in a different place and they want to use him differently? He's going to have choices, right? Especially if he's flexible with what he's willing to make financially, right? Because that's going to be the sacrifice he's going to have to make. He's making the big money for a tailback, and those days are probably over. Mm-hmm. He wants to be paid what he's worth, but his role is going to change regardless. So he's going to have some say in this, right?
If I'm the Titans, I would be encouraged from the Titans' perspective by what the running back market was this past offseason. And I would tell Derrick Henry, look, if you want to go find a better offer somewhere else, be my guest. because the market for running backs, I think, has proven that, look, mm-hmm. not a lot of money, no. nor is there a lot of priority, especially bringing in a running back that's going to be 30 at mm-hmm. that point. And I truly believe that there is no team in the National Football League that would value Derrick Henry more than the Tennessee Titans
exactly.
would. But if Derrick wants more than the Titans are willing to offer from the Titans, go.
If it's
investigate and go see what your value would be in the market, and if it's not what you want, we would love to have you.
Exactly. It's you know, if the market's for Derek, say if Derek wants, I don't know, 7 per year. If you can get it. Be my guest. Say if he wants 7.
I was going to say 2-year deal, $6 million each.
The market says no. We're only willing to give you 3 per year. We may give you $6 million to sign.
A lot of incentives there. Probably yeah. in there.
If I'm the Titans, I come back and say, you know what? I give you 4 or 5 to stay with us. You know, make it a 2-year deal. 2-year deal, $12 million. Some of it in signing bonus. Your base salary is this is what it's going to be, and maybe tie some incentives to it. I think that's a better deal because to me, you don't want to go somewhere just for 1 year and you're on the sort of the backside, even though I don't consider Derrick Henry the backside of his career. He still can run. He's still a hell of a runner. But you're really on the backside of your career. So do you want to go somewhere for 1 year mm-hmm. or stay with us, you know, for a little bit better deal, but it's a 2-year deal?
Tom in Nashville, Texan, says it's a slap in the face to tell Derrick Henry to go find a better offer.
No, it's not. That's what all good GMs.
It's a business.
Go up the street. To Baltimore. Go up the street to New England. Those two GMs, that's what they tell their players. Listen, we know what you've done for us, and we appreciate that. But if you think you can get a better deal, go. We don't want to stop that. Go. But if you can't, this is what we're offering. So it's not a slap in the face. It's business. Like, we understand who you are as a player. But we're going to give you – if you think you're worth that much money, then go. See if you can get it. If you can't, then this is the deal we have for you. We're sweetening it a little bit, but we're not going to pay you, you know, 10 times more than what the market says you're worth. We're not going to do that.
Coming up next, I decided Jared versus Joe yesterday on this, but I need to bring in an expert.
Hot.
I need to bring in an expert on it, and we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Ville DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. So I awarded Joe Rexroth the win in Jared versus Joe yesterday, but I thought in order for me to really feel good about that, I need to consult an expert, somebody that would know. So the question that I asked Jared and Joe was about Treylon Burks. Should the Titans be ready to give up on Burks? What's the plan with Treylon Burks? So this was the response from Jared and Joe yesterday.
You know what I love about this question, Caroline, is it gives me like these delightful flashbacks of Jared takes. One of them was what was it? What was it? Treylon Burks is more what, explosive than AJ Brown? Is that what it was?
More yeah, I think that Burks has more talent.
That's a great one.
But again, like talent. Fantastic. I mean, talent.
Oh, really? Talent. So you're sticking with that?
How can we say he doesn't have talent?
Oh my God.
When he never freaking plays.
Oh, no, you're right. No, I'm sure he has more talent than A.J. Brown. Thank you so much for introducing Treylon Burks.
Why are we not?
Look at this guy.
Hold on. Why are we not going forward with Treylon Burks as a priority, you and I? What's the reason, Joe?
Jared.
What's the reason, Joe? Answer the question.
You don't get to interrogate me on your idiotic.
You're saying that because the reason why we're not investing in Treylon Burks or prioritizing Treylon Burks is because he's not dependable to stay healthy. That has nothing to do with his ability. Yeah.
That's true. Now let's isolate his ability and forget the health. You said that he has more talent than AJ Brown. Oh my God.
So if I ever have high blood pressure, I will tell my doctor it's because of Wednesdays at 5:00, and that's just a snippet of exactly why. So I awarded Joe the win because I said, Jared, like, I really don't know what you mean when you mm-hmm. say that Treylon Burks has more talent than A.J. Brown. I think he's a talented player, absolutely. I just don't know what that means. D-Mace, I defer to you.
Jared could have did a better job at explaining why he thinks Treylon Burks has more talent or just as much talent as A.J. Brown. Because there's some truth into what he's saying. I think people, and maybe this is what Joe's looking at, just the production. And, you know, A.J., I mean, not A.J., but Treylon, you know, having his injuries that he's had, and there's nothing he can do about those. So when it comes up, it's just like one of those shock and awe things, like, oh, definitely, like, no, like, oh, he's definitely not more talented than him. Yeah, based upon numbers, yeah, that's, you can shut down an argument and say, listen, A.J. Brown has had, he had 1,600 yards last year, double-digit touchdowns. What did the rookie do? Nothing. He's on pace to have 1,400 yards, 1,500 yards again, almost double digits. What is the rookie doing? Not much.
I don't even think Treylon Burks is going to have like 15 catches.
Exactly. So that's, you're looking at it based upon numbers. You're looking at it based upon stats. Stats doesn't always tell anything. There are guys that had better stats than me, but I would run circles around them in regards to being a receiver. And I was more talented. But there were guys that were more talented to me. There were guys on our roster. Kevin Dyson, more talented than me. I have no problem with saying it. 6'2", can run, really good hands. I learned things from him running routes that I would just sit back and watch Kevin run routes. Like, trying to figure out how does a guy that big run routes like a small person. I need to add some of what he's doing to my repertoire. I understood. In Baltimore, there were guys that had more talent, but talent always will not always make you the best. There's something within you. That's what separates. There were guys more talented than Jerry Rice. There was. But there was something in Jerry Rice that they didn't have. You know? I look at it. Tyreek Hill is more talented than Jerry Rice. Pound for more talented. But there was something in Jerry Rice that nobody else has. They just don't. I look at guys like Jimmy Smith. Talented. He had that one thing that a lot of guys just didn't have. There may have been guys that were better than him. There were guys that were better than the playmaker, the Hall of Famer in Dallas. But you know what he had? He had something that somebody else didn't have. That's why he's a Hall of Famer. You know, that's why Irvin is a Hall of Famer. Because he wasn't the most talented. He probably wasn't even as talented as Alvin Harper that had played alongside of him. But Alvin Harper didn't have that one thing that the playmaker had. AJ Treylon just may be. That's not like a asinine statement. It's not.
Do you think Jared more talented than AJ Brown?
Well, let me weigh in real quick, because I agree with 100% of what you're saying in the whole picture thing, because there is more than just that. But even with that as the backdrop, A.J. Brown is still more talented than Treylon Burks. I haven't seen it. The way A.J. Brown catches in a phone booth and can be immediately accelerating past a defensive back, the run after the catch, that is unique. That was evident from pretty much day one that he was here. I haven't seen anything close to A.J. Brown talent-wise, pure talent-wise, with Treylon Burks. I'm not saying Treylon Burks is not talented. A.J. Brown was a special talent from day one who only got better, and the results showed it. So I'm taking the availability out of it. I'm looking at A.J. Brown as a talent in his best, and Burks, what I've seen at his best. And I would still easily take A.J. Brown. So Jared is crazy, and D-Mace, I don't know what got into you this morning, even trying to justify Jared's things. I'm more in Joe's corner just laughing it off, saying, where did this even come from?
It's the candle.
You have to look at it from
what did you put this, in that candle?
From this standpoint, you know, Jared says AJ is not a top five receiver. I think AJ it's you know, you do your the hell with who's a top five. Who he is one of the best receivers in the National Football League. There are 31 teams out there, 32 teams. Well, 31 because Philly already has them. 31 teams that would love to have him on their team. Even if Cincinnati, they got T. Higgins and Chase, they would love to have A.J. Brown.
Maybe just 30 because one of those teams had him.
Yeah, you're right. Titans, yeah, you're right. But they wish they had him back now. So I'm not into top who's the top five. He's just a damn good receiver. He can go on any team in the National Football League, regardless of who they have, and be a starter. Just like Chase can, Jefferson can, Tyreek Hill can, Mike Evans can. That's who people keep on forgetting about is Mike Evans. To me, Mike Evans is the dude behind Tyreek Hill is Mike Evans. And we can argue that all day. I'll shoot you down all day.
Over Chase, Jefferson?
Overall, because his consistency. The only man in the NFL that has had, I think, other than possibly Jerry Rice, had more thousand. Since he stepped foot on the football field in the NFL, he's been a 1,000-yard guy. And he's still a 1,000-yard guy. And he's about to get a hell of a paycheck because this kid can just flat out play. But I'm going to put Mike Evans to the side because people don't look at Mike Evans like I do. I look at him as just a pure, like he's a wide receiver. He's pure wide receiver. There's nothing he can't do. But when you're looking at A.J. and Treylon, A.J. has proven that he has the talent. Treylon hasn't proven it yet, even though he does have it. See, that's the difference. I will argue you up and down all day in regards to that. Talent and production always don't match. It just doesn't. AJ has a. Remember what I talked about yesterday about it's that one thing that I don't think Treylon has? Like, yeah. It's just AJ has it.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with talent. Now, if you're asking me to pick a guy, I'm going to pick AJ. Hell yeah. Because AJ's proven to me he can do it. Treylon hasn't proven it yet, but Treylon has the talent to do it. He has immense talent to do it, but it hasn't. People were arguing about AJ Brown his first year. Let's not forget. It wasn't all peaches and cream. People were mad at him because he was dropping. But I remember the drop he had on slant, and it ended the game. They went to him. Fourth and three or fourth and four, a slant. People were eating him up. Oh, he can't catch the ball. And now look at him. So don't miss me with that other stuff, okay? Because y'all were on AJ because he was dropping balls, but AJ figured it out. He started getting more comfortable. And now look at who he is now. Sometimes the production and the potential or whatever doesn't match up sometimes.
But he still had a whole heck of a lot of production in his rookie season.
He did have production.
1,000-yard season.
But you got to understand this, too. I'll tell you on the other side. I ain't going to worry about
that. We will get to silly underdog picks.
You need to concentrate on your underdog picks.
Yeah. I'm so fired up the last 2 days with these wide receivers thing. Yeah. I argue. I want Joe. I want Jared. I want both of them to sit in this seat, and we can discuss wide receivers.
Wide receiver 101 with Professor D-Man.
Exactly.
And you can't tell me anything. Today.
Absolutely. So, there we go.
Caroline Willie DeVase, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.